obsessed.
Okay, I just want to start off this episode by saying that Laura's drinking water out of a Bundaberg ginger beer bottle, which is real strange. Also, she brought a straw, which is adorable.
It's a paper straw, though, so it's environmentally friendly.
All straws are paper straws now, unless they're metal.
Yeah.
I saw a video on TikTok the other day where they got these straws at a beach bar. It was just pasta.
Why do I love that? Actually, I used to know a girl in primary school who ate raw pasta.
I used to when I was younger.
Really?
Yeah, just the spaghetti noodles. I like the crunch.
That's what she liked. She was like, it's crunchy. And I was like, but it can't taste very good.
It doesn't really taste like anything.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is it bad if I try and do that at like 24 years of age?
Nah. Right, it's weird as shit you could do.
That's a good point.
And I have a coffee milkshake from Ben & Jerry's, which I'm very happy about.
Hell yeah.
I'm Ash.
I'm Laura.
And I'm sleepy.
I'm so tired.
We're both so tired, so sorry.
I actually have a really fun combination of being very tired but also very anxious.
Mm.
So I don't know what my adrenaline's doing right now.
Is it because I made you sit outside because I was late coming home?
No, that was me trying to relax. I was
okay.
Just zenning out, and I was like checking my phone and just trying to breathe. But like all day, I'm just like so anxious.
I've just been like, yeah, in this weird state of having like kind of mental energy but also not. Also, my priorities were fucked because I prioritized, like, I got the episode done. I've not proofread it. And then it got to like 3 o'clock, and that's when I thought you were coming over.
Oh, that's why I messaged
you. So that's why I messaged you, because I was like, I feel like that's wrong.
Yeah, which it was.
Yeah. But then we also realized that we hadn't gone to the shops and gotten any of like the pet food and stuff. So we had to move things around. And I was like, I have not organized my day well.
No. But that's okay, because we're here now.
We're here now.
It's only 4:45.
It's fine.
We were supposed to start at 4, but it's fine.
No, we moved it to 4:30, and then I was still late.
And then it got moved, and then you were late again.
Sorry.
But everything's done. It's fine. There's pet food. There's human food. We're here. Cases are written.
Everything's fine.
We're good to go.
There will actually be an episode.
Yay!
Yeah, so as this comes out, I will be returning from my little holiday. My little city stay. I'm sure I had a fabulous time.
I was about to say, you can't even tell us how it was.
No. I'm sure it was great, and I can tell you all about it next week.
Yay!
As for that, I don't really think we have anything to catch up on.
Yeah.
Because we recorded like a day ago.
Yeah, a day or two ago.
Yeah. I don't think much has changed. Has anything happened? You went out to dinner?
I did. I went out to dinner with some friends who have said that they're going to start listening, which I hope they do.
Sorry in advance.
Yeah.
If this is where you start, I apologize.
I did preface and say we do a lot of shit talking. And
yeah.
I was like, you know, I think it's funny, but hopefully other people do too.
So, yeah. You got to enjoy the content you make, man.
Exactly. So if you guys are listening, hi guys. I really enjoyed walking around the shops for a long time.
Why does that sound like passive aggression?
No, it's so funny because we are the most four indecisive people. And then last minute.
So you just walk around in circles, can't pick anywhere to go.
Yeah, because we went for dinner and then we couldn't decide where to eat.
Oh, man.
But it was fun. Like, we did like a nice little walk and talk, but it just turned into us like, what do we want to do? Oh, I don't know. Should we go here? Let's read the menu. Oh, they look really busy. They look expensive. Where should we go? And then we went for Mexican.
Nice.
It was good.
That's what I'm getting tomorrow night for family dinner. I'm ordering Mexican catered.
Hey. Yeah. It's a bit fancy.
Yeah, well, my family either does like home-cooked meal, which is really great, but when they're all busy, they order pizza. And I'm just sick of pizza. So I was like, I will pay for Mexican catering. Like, I just don't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing tomorrow night. So that'll be fun.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, I had such a good night.
That's good.
But yeah. That's mostly what I've been doing.
Done anything.
Oh, and researching this bloody case.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I went to like 5 home opens yesterday and got real tired.
Oh, that's exhausting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do they go?
They're all right.
Oh.
Yeah. Not I don't doing. Know. No, pretty eh. There was one that was cool, which is not one that I thought I was going to go and see. And then I just drove past it and went in. I was like, this is great. But the ones that I'd planned to go and see were all shit.
Oh, that's disappointing.
That's kind of normal at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but anyway, so I left you guys on a bit of a cliffhanger last episode.
I still haven't forgiven you.
Yeah, sorry. Fair enough. And so I've got my part two here. It's a bit of a, like I said before, there is some trigger warning in there. If you kind of got the hint of some of the things to come.
The direction we're heading
in. Yeah. but this is part two of the Gainesville Ripper.
Strap yourself in.
Yeah. So where I left you last time, it was the weird and mildly over-repetitive crime spree of Danny Rowling. He's been in and out of jail a whole bunch of times. He's had a whole host of family issues and is in the midst of totally losing it to his horrible impulses.
Mm-hmm.
Where I left off, he'd stolen ID papers and a car and he was on his way to Tampa.
Yes.
So upon his arrival in Tampa, Rowling sets up a makeshift campsite in the woods behind Florida State University, which straight up is a giant red flag. Nothing. You can't camp in the woods in a major city and be okay.
And also Florida. Only weird shit happens in Florida.
Yeah. As we discovered when we did our Florida man birthdays.
Exactly.
So, in the early hours of Friday, August 24th. Now, this is 1990.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. So, in the early hours of Friday, August 24th, Rowling breaks into the apartment of Sonia Larson and Christina Powell. Christina was asleep on the couch. Rowling entered the apartment, left her sleeping on the couch, which I hate the idea of.
Yep.
Like just walking past someone is terrifying to me. He moved upstairs. There he found Sonia. He taped Sonia's mouth shut as to not wake Christina and stabbed her to death first in the chest, then stomach and legs also.
Ugh.
Rowling then went downstairs and covered Christina's mouth with tape. He bound her, cut off her clothing, threatening her life if she fought him. He assaulted her and stabbed her 5 times in the back, killing her by piercing her heart. Yeah, so I told you it would start off bad.
Yeah.
He returned to Sonia and assaulted her body.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He then mutilated both the women, posed their bodies in very what was described as open positions.
I don't like that word.
No, me either.
No.
as to cause absolute maximum shock to whoever would find them.
Mm-hmm.
He then showered and left the apartment, and he kept one of the women's nipples.
Oh, I don't like that.
No.
You know, at the start of this, I was going to ask, what's the trigger warning actually for? And I'm just going to go with everything at this
point.
Yeah,
that's why I didn't get specific, because it's kind of bits of all of it.
Yeah.
No animals are harmed.
That's something. Okay.
I mean, if you're going to look for a silver lining, I guess that's it.
That's a big one. You know, that's nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
But mainly just because there weren't any involved. I don't know if it's something he would have done or not.
Let's not think about that too much.
Yeah. So that was Friday.
Okay.
Saturday.
Oh, God.
The 25th. Rowling finds another apartment to break into.
Mm-hmm.
This time it's 18-year-old Krista Hoyt. So there was Christina.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's Krista.
Okay.
Sorry, my autocorrect did not like the flow of what was happening when that changed.
Oh, I bet it didn't.
Yeah. When Rowling pries open Christina's sliding door, he enters the apartment to find she isn't home.
Yes.
Don't get too excited. Oh. So she'd actually been working the midnight shift at the police station as a records clerk. So she worked for the sheriff's department.
Interesting.
He waits for her. Around 11 a.m., Krista enters her apartment and is attacked from behind, being placed in a chokehold by Rowling. After she is subdued, Rowling does the same as he did with his first two victims. He tapes her mouth shut, binds her wrists together, and in the bedroom, he cuts her clothes from her and rapes her. As with Sonia and Christina, he turns Krista face down and stabs her repeatedly in the back, puncturing her heart. So he's got a pretty obvious signature.
Yeah, they'll link this pretty quickly.
After he has returned to his camp, Rowling can't find his wallet.
Uh-oh.
Thinking he left it at the scene, he returns to Krista's apartment when it's then that he decides to mutilate her to the point of decapitation.
Oh, God.
He removes her nipples and places them beside her and slices her from sternum to groin.
There's such a psychological thing going on here. Like, he truly wants to dominate them. Like, he's bounding them.
He takes the tape with him as well, which is weird. But he places her head on a shelf and faces it towards the body.
Oh, God.
Then there's, it's not confirmed, but it did then look like he showered and left.
Okay.
So it was Saturday night that the police will get a call from a concerned landlord that would lead to the discovery of Sonia and Christina by Ray Barber, a local law enforcement officer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mentioned Ray. I don't talk a lot about, like, the police investigation because they didn't know any details almost until after, like, until the trial, essentially.
Right.
So there you go. Spoiler, he does get caught. Not in the way you think, but he does.
Okay, all right.
But I mentioned this because around 12:30 a.m., Gail Barber, Ray's wife, gets called to check on Krista because she'd missed her shift.
Oh.
So Ray discovers the first two.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Gail, his wife, goes to check on her, she finds the next victim.
That's an which is just coincidence.
In a big place like Tampa.
Yeah.
That's just a weird coincidence that I wanted to mention.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, peering inside the horrible situation Krista was left in, within hours, the Tampa police had two matching crime scenes. At both scenes, underwear were missing, a knife with a 4 to 6 inch blade had been used on all three girls, and use of adhesive tape for restraint was evident, although, like I said, it had been removed.
Mm-hmm.
At both scenes, there were body parts missing. They were not specific.
Oh, that's not good.
But so far, there's a bit of a trend.
Some common themes going on here.
Yeah.
Could that, when they said body parts missing, could that just mean the nipples or are they implying more?
I mean, it could be either.
Mm-hmm.
We know for a fact that at the first one he took, apparently, in a statement, he said he didn't realize he took it until he was halfway back to his campsite.
How do you not realize?
I don't know, man. There's a lot of things in this that's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But I mean, it could be anything. They weren't super specific. I did try and dig,
mm-hmm.
but I couldn't find.
I mean, it's exactly a pretty morbid detail, but yeah. It's just something I was wondering.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So the media was onto the story the moment that the police knew, basically.
Funny about that.
Krista's murder meant that the killer may have not known his victims and they were chosen opportunistically. They didn't even attend the same school. So they were all kind of the same age,
mm-hmm.
But they didn't attend the same school.
Okay.
So Christina and Sonia were freshmen at the University of Florida, while Krista was a sophomore at Santa Fe Community College.
Okay.
Students, fearful of returning alone to their apartments, banded together with as many as 10 or 12 people staying together in one apartment, which is, like, really terrifying and sad, but also kind of cute.
It's really nice. Like, they're all, like, looking after each other, but it's so bad.
Yeah, it's for a bad reason.
Yeah.
And that would be some terrifying sleepovers, but...
Like, I mean, you make the best of it. You're like, look, we're afraid for our lives, but like movie night.
Yeah. There's also 12 of us in a 2-bedroom apartment.
Oh, yeah. I like those odds.
Yeah.
Like, hell yeah.
So no one walked alone at night or during the day,
because
mm-hmm. Both of these murders were committed in the early hours of the morning.
Okay.
So, I mean, one was at 11:30 a.m., lunchtime. Mm-hmm. Young women were wary of everything, fair enough. And yep. Since it was the start of the semester, many students just completely withdrew from study, which I definitely would have done.
Yeah.
I mean, I withdrew the other week because I didn't want to do an assignment. So I think this
killer.
Counts. Yeah. On Monday, the 27th of August, Rowling breaks into another apartment. So he's gone Friday, Saturday, Monday.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason for the break.
Mm-hmm.
But part of me thinks, like, his weird religious fascinations may have had something to do with it. I don't know.
Yeah, Sunday's the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
You don't kill young women on the Lord's Day.
That or he robbed a supermarket again. Who knows?
Yeah, or maybe he was just, like, tired that day.
He was could have been sleepy. Just at a campsite. It's just so weird to me.
Everything about this is weird.
Yeah,
and true. Just messed up and just, ugh. But keep going.
I will. So on Monday the 27th, he breaks into another apartment. This time it was the apartment of Tracy Pauls and Manny. I think it's Taboada. Taboada? 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 Maybe?
That sounds right. Go with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's Florida, so I'm kind of thinking maybe in the 90s, maybe Spanish.
Hmm?
I don't know. And Manny.
Yeah, Manny for sure.
Yeah. So I'm going with Taboada, both 23 years old.
Okay.
Using the same military knife as his other crimes, he opened the sliding glass door. So that's something that all three apartments had.
Mm-hmm.
and found Manny asleep in his room. Surprising him in his sleep, Manny was only able to struggle against rolling for a short time before he was stabbed to death. So this is his first and only male victim in these sprees.
Okay.
Tracy heard the struggle and entered Manny's bedroom. She found Rowling. She attempted to barricade herself in a room in the apartment building, but Rowling was like 6'2 and relatively large at the time.
Uh-oh.
So he just broke through the door. Which, especially in like off-campus college apartments, I have a feeling they were not very sturdy.
Probably not. But also like, dudes be strong. Like,
yeah.
If he's hell-bent on doing this, he's going to be doing it.
If Manny had survived, Manny probably would have been able to easily take him because Manny was 6'4 and like 250, 300 pounds.
So it was only that he got a surprise on him. It
was the fact that he was asleep and was surprised. Yeah.
That's such a shame.
As with the other victims, Rowling taped Tracy's mouth and wrists, cut off her clothing and raped her before turning her over and stabbing her 3 times in the back. Rowling posed her body but left Manny's in the same position as which he died. So he didn't touch Manny, didn't give a shit about him.
Yeah.
The pair were discovered by a friend and a maintenance man on Tuesday morning. So Tracy's body was lying in the hallway between the two bedrooms, according to Tommy, who was the friend, mm-hmm. and Chris, who was the maintenance guy. Sitting on the floor above her head was a dark-coloured bag. Chris slammed the door shut and locked it, knowing that it was a crime scene and he needed to call the police. When he returned just minutes later, the door was unlocked and the bag was gone.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. So upon investigation, Tracy was found with a towel placed under her hips and her hair was wet, but she was left unmutilated.
Interesting.
So it looks like he may have come back to finish whatever weird thing he was doing. But it looks like he washed her.
Yeah, it was like he was preparing to do something, but maybe he got startled or
yeah, well, I mean, something. A slamming door would probably scare the shit out of you if you were there by yourself doing something like that.
Oh, yeah.
So now the police have 5 bodies and no clue who the real killer is.
Oh.
So they actually trailed 2 people for a few weeks before they let them go because they had no evidence. The first, I didn't really write too much about them, but the first guy was a guy that just looked kind of scary because he had scars on his face from being in an accident.
Right.
His picture was plastered all over the newspapers as soon as they got wind of it. So they did publicly, like, say that he had nothing to do with it, but there was probably quite a bit of damage done already.
Oh, yeah.
And the other guy was arrested and charged for a bunch of assaults, and he was generally just a weird dude. He actually got arrested for, like, attacking his grandmother, and he was also arrested a couple of times because he kept pulling pen knives on frat houses that wouldn't let him into the party, which is not how you get let into a party.
Yeah. It's not good to bully your way into friendship groups.
No. You buy drink, you bribe your way in.
Yeah.
In the frat houses, that's how you do it.
Okay, so basically we've got a weird dude and a guy that did absolutely nothing but just had scars. And they mm-hmm. were like, maybe?
Could be him. It was because he was quite antisocial and he, like, did have connections to the victims.
Okay.
Just, like, from different campuses and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Not a lot to
They didn't on. Actually have any evidence. It was just, that guy's kind of weird and he creeps me out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They'd be, like, for sure be having pressure from society and be like, you need to catch this guy. And they're like, well, we've got, like, these 2 guys.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And so this went on for, a couple months.
Oh.
And, like I said, neither of them was Rowling.
Okay.
So, as I said before, Rowling made a campsite not far from the murder scenes. He'd been on the way back to the campsite with a new friend who supplied him with drugs when the police noticed them. And Rowling just took the fuck off.
That's not suspicious.
So the other guy just stood there and then Rowling just took off and he was like, what the fuck?
Why is that guy running?
As the two officers pursued Rowling, they actually found his campsite. So he led them straight to his campsite, which is weird. Ooh. But he kept going.
Did they find anything?
They found a number of items, but this time the only thing that caught their attention was a bag of cash covered in pink dye. Because guess what? A bank had been robbed recently.
Funny about that.
Hmm. Rowling got away, but the cash was linked to that bank robbery just a few days before. The camp contents were kept in case they were able to catch the robber.
Yes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they didn't pick up that any of the stuff had anything to do with the murders.
God damn it.
Sorry.
I just so want this guy to be caught at this point.
Yeah. So Rowling stole another car and headed for, I think it's called Ocala, O-C-A-L-A. Sorry. I didn't Google, like, pronounce any of this stuff.
That sounds right.
When he attempted a daring robbery of a Winn-Dixie supermarket.
What's this thing with supermarkets?
I don't know, man. But it was like peak busy time, Saturday afternoon on September 8th.
Mm-hmm.
So he forced the manager at gunpoint to empty the office safe. The store's bookkeeper was on her way back to work. She phoned the police when she learned at the entrance to the supermarket that they were being robbed. So, like, as she was about to walk in, she saw they were being robbed, backed out, called the cops.
Okay.
The store manager, Randy Wilson, then followed Rowling as he left the shopping center to tell police exactly where he was.
Damn, what a champ.
He was just walking back to, like, his getaway car. And the manager was just like, I'm just going to follow him.
Yeah.
And he did. Rowling was backing out of the parking area when police were already in pursuit and they had a high-speed chase.
Mm-hmm.
Rowling crashed his car and tried to flee on foot to a nearby office, but as he left through the rear door, police were waiting for him. So they saw him go into the building, went around the back thinking he was going to try and escape. He tried and they caught him.
Yay!
So... the months after Rowling's arrest were relatively quiet. He was super cooperative about his robberies and he wasn't much trouble for the police. He admitted to it, had all this evidence against him, and he was like, yeah, I did the robberies, whatever.
Yeah, because he's like, I'm a robber, not a killer.
Yeah.
Lol.
They didn't even question him about the Gainesville ripping killers.
Well, yeah, because they have nothing to link him yet. They're no, like, idea. This guy just takes money.
But on January 1st, 1991, he revealed another side to his personality, and in a fit of anger, he ripped a toilet from its mounting and threw it across the day room.
That takes some anger.
Yeah. So throughout the time prior to his trial for the burglaries, Rowling had trouble keeping his mouth shut, and many inmates actually made contact with the investigating team to relate stories of Rowling's, like, weird confessions. So they would actually fluctuate between, like, admissions of sin.
Right.
Like, I've sinned, you know,
mm-hmm.
blah, 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 to downright bragging.
Ugh.
Depending on his mood. He formed a friendship with inmate Bobby Lewis,
mm-hmm.
who is known as the only man to ever have escaped from Florida's death row.
Interesting.
He got caught a couple of days later, and that's why he's back in jail, but he did actually escape, and he's the first one to do it.
That's somewhat impressive.
Yeah.
In a bad way, but, yeah. Like, impressive.
Yeah. He did the thing where, like, you dress as a guard and you just walk out the front door.
Okay.
Which you think death row would probably be a little bit better at that.
See, I was hoping for, like, a prison break type thing, like, lots of planning.
Of course you were.
Yeah, I'm still on season 4. But, like, but, like, it's cool he got away with it, but I wanted a bit more finesse, you know?
He only got away with it with a couple of days.
Yeah.
So the pair became friends.
Mm-hmm.
They planned to attempt suicide in order to be put into the infirmary to then try and escape.
That's more prison breaky.
But they never got that far. Like, they planned it, but that's about as far as it got. Eventually, on January 31st, 1993.
Okay.
So 3 years after the Ripper murders.
Mm-hmm.
Through Lewis, Rowling informed the Gainesville investigation squad that he wished to confess.
Interesting.
Yeah. During the three-hour confession, Rowling did not answer any of the investigators' questions directly, but confirmed the answers given by Lewis on his behalf.
Okay.
So Lewis went up, said what he needed to say, said the confession, said it was this guy, blah, blah, blah. Then when they brought him in, he didn't actually, like, answer any questions, but he was giving, like, yes or no answers and, like, confirming what they already sort of knew.
Interesting.
So through Lewis, Rowling effectively confessed to planning and committing the 5 murders in Gainesville. He also told them that he had originally planned to kill 8 people and that the plan had come to him while he was in prison in the 80s.
Okay.
And that he would clear up the Shreveport homicides after the Gainesville trial.
I just have so many questions about his motives. Like, it seems so planned. Like, why 8? And why is he confessing now? Why is he doing it through someone else? Like,
I don't think anything in this dude's head makes sense, but go on, try and figure it out.
I can't. I've been thinking about it a lot and I have no answers. like, I'm thinking about, like, is there, like, a biblical link to something? But
yeah, I think the dude's just broken.
He is, but I want to know.
I don't think there's a method to his madness.
But what if there is?
That's what I mean, there's a book on it.
I may have to read this book.
Yeah. So Rowling also shifted all responsibility for the murders onto his evil side of his personality that he called Gemini.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know where Gemini's from?
Where?
The Exorcist Part 3.
Yeah.
Okay. Laura face-palmed. So the investigators knew that he'd watched The Exorcist Part 3 during the week of the Gainesville murders.
Okay.
The killer in this movie is known as Gemini. And he had decapitated and disemboweled a female victim. So they didn't exactly believe he had another personality.
Yeah, no. I think he saw it and went, ooh, yeah, might do that.
Yeah, but he thought about it afterwards. When it came time to trial, that's what I wrote. That's fine.
Yep.
Rowling wanted to plead guilty, admitting that he didn't want the crime scene photos to be shown.
Yep.
With the guilty plea entered, a date for the final verdict was set. So it really didn't take long. I mean, if guilty plea, they don't have to do any of that stuff. But the judge did let everyone do, like, victim impact statements.
Yep.
To him personally.
Yeah, they do, like, due process, but there was no deliberation and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then on April 20th, 1994, Daniel Harold Rowling was sentenced to death for all five victims of the Gainesville Ripper killings.
Yay!
Yay! Shortly before his execution, Rowling confessed to the three other murders of 55-year-old William Grissom, his 24-year-old daughter Julie, and their 8-year-old grandson Sean back in Shreveport in 1989.
They were from part one.
Yes, they were. Mm-hmm. He gave absolutely no reason.
Apart from just being an asshole.
And the way he confessed was by writing on a note and passing it to his priest before he went into the execution. So they didn't get any justice for that. I mean, he's dead, so.
Yeah.
But
it's roundabout justice, but yeah. They never got their day in court.
Yeah. Rowling was executed by lethal injection on October 25th, 2006.
That took a while.
Yeah. His final meal was lobster tail, butterfly shrimp, baked potato, strawberry cheesecake, and sweet tea. His final words were him singing gospel songs for 2 minutes straight, which really annoys me.
Yeah, that's really annoying.
And the family of his victims were there as witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't acknowledge it. He didn't say anything. He didn't apologize, nothing. He just sang gospel songs for 2 minutes straight and they cut him off. Imagine being cut off on your last words. Why is that so funny to me?
It's because, like, everyone clearly hates this guy. And, like, he's gone in there. He's like, I'm just going to have a little concert for everyone here, and then they gave him 2 minutes and they were
I hope he was a terrible singer, because that's just like, I know it's a really sad situation, but that's a really funny image in my head.
Yeah. It's so self-righteous though.
It is, it definitely is. So a few interesting things to note. Mm-hmm. Rowling and the Gainesville Ripper murders are the subject of the book Beyond Murder by John Philippin and John Donnelly.
Mm-hmm.
The murders have been suggested to have been the inspiration for the original screenplay for 1996 film Scream.
That makes sense, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Rowling was the subject of an episode of Body of Evidence from the case files of Dale Hinman, which is like a court TV show.
Okay.
This bit makes me laugh. During Rowling's trial, court TV ran an interview with his mother from home. So she wasn't there. She was too sick to come in.
Mm-hmm.
But during during the interview, someone is shouting and complaining off screen. Guess who the fuck that is?
Was it his dad?
Good old James.
Oh, that guy won't die.
No. And that just, I don't know, it just makes me laugh, like, to think that his, like, sick mum, who probably feels terrible,
yeah,
is on court TV, like, being interviewed, or, like, because she gave a whole statement about his upbringing and all that kind of stuff, and that's probably why he's nutso and whatever. And then just the old man in the corner just yelling and screaming shit.
Like, oh, she was not lying.
Yeah, that's what I imagine happening. They're like, oh, I see it now.
Yeah, okay. That's so funny in a really horrible way.
Yeah, I don't know. That just made me giggle because I'm like, fucking course it was. Like,
yeah. It's like, we wouldn't be doing anything else. Like,
yeah. So at, I think it was 6:31, he was pronounced dead. And outside, the people were there celebrating, sang Amazing Grace.
Yep.
Which I'm sure is better than any of the weird gospel songs he sung.
That's what I would have been doing if I wasn't, what, 9 at the time? So.
Whoa, yeah. 2006, I was listening to So Fresh.
Yep. I was in what, grade 4?
I can never work that out.
Really?
How old I was in a certain grade. Because my birthday's all fucked. I graduated when I was 16.
Oh. Yeah. I was 17. Like, I was a year younger than everybody. I just remember I was 5 in prep and then just add from that.
I work backwards from the fact that I graduated at 16 in 2011.
Right.
That's how I go backwards. Well, technically, yeah. Oh, hold on. So if I was... In 2011, I was in grade 12.
Mm-hmm.
That means whatever grade I just out of year. And that's what year it was. And then I can work out my age. I'm not normal. Don't worry about it.
No, see, I was just like, okay, I figured out I was 9. And so then I was like, well, I was 5 in prep. So then add 4.
2006, I would have been in year 7.
Oh.
There we go. That's how I figured that out.
All right, we got there.
Yeah. Fuck, that was stupid.
We're not good at maths. We know this.
No. Anyway, that's the story of the Gainesville Ripper.
I don't say this lightly. I think that's one of the worst I've heard. That just really got me.
I can do worse. I just don't want to. I will one day.
We'll get there. That was pretty bad. It's just so awful.
And that one's crazy as well because, like, it doesn't have a whole lot of detail.
Yeah, like... That was horrible. That should be more publicized.
Because the reason it doesn't have a whole lot of detail is because the media took it, ran with it, and just went nuts and, like, embellished a whole bunch of shit. So, like, a lot of the stuff that you read, like, I was only using court documents.
Yeah.
And then I was only using, like, university published papers and, like, psych papers. That's the only things I was using because there was a really good timeline from... Philadelphia Uni or something, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
There was a really good timeline from the psych unit there that they did on him, and that's where a lot of the information I got from for, like, his childhood and stuff like that, because just the stories are so different. Some stories don't mention anything about mutilation. Some, mm-hmm. like, mention stuff that just, like, you can't find anywhere else. Some mention stuff that is, like, he used mirrors to pose some of the things, and which I think is Scream. So I think there's stuff, like, there's just shit everywhere. So I was like, I'm going to have to just do the bits that I can see in multiple sources.
Yeah, and then it could
the stuff in court documents. Not, yeah. And there wasn't really, like, a full proper trial because he pled guilty.
Yeah.
Which could have cleared a lot of shit up.
Yeah, because they weren't trying to prove that he did it. He admitted it. So then it was down to what's his sentence going to be.
Yeah, and then there's also, like, with the books and things. So a lot of the books... and things like that that are published about him were written with the help of his fiance, who was a writer.
Mm. Okay.
And, like, I think they were fiancés because she just wanted to be able to get all the fucking information from him, which, go girl, sure.
I mean, fair enough. She did her time.
She didn't hurt anyone, so.
Yeah.
But, like.
Yeah, some of those books you have to have a look at because they can be just as fictionalized as actual
so there was just so much stuff. So I mean, if you know other details about it and they don't quite match up, I'm sorry, I tried.
Yeah, well, just let us know. Like, we can always revisit stuff, but
like, a lot of the articles I was like, America's worst serial killer that you've never heard of.
Oh, like, yeah, like, I'm surprised how much that case isn't, like, I hadn't heard of it.
Yeah,
like,
I think because also it happened just a year after Ted Bundy was executed.
I was about to ask, like, what was going on at the time? Because clearly something buried it up.
Yeah. And I feel like maybe it would have been a bit much for them to, like, it was in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Gainesville did a whole lot of, like, things on it. But within 3 or 4 days, it was out of the news.
Yeah.
Because it was just freaking people out too much after everything that happened with Bundy. Like,
That's so sad.
Yeah, I know.
Like, they just couldn't cope with it. So they're like, oh, we might just not cover it. But then at the same time, they sensationalized everything, like...
And went nuts. Yeah. So...
Weird.
Sorry, I tried, but there you go. I can't believe I actually finished that, because that's been sitting in my, like, half-finished notes for a really long time.
It's so good when you finish it and you're just like, yes.
Because I started doing it, and, like, I did all the background.
And then it was like getting to the crime and I was like, I'm tired. I'm my brain hurts.
Oh, was this when you were sick and you were just like, yeah, the world is such a bad place?
Yeah.
I can see why.
Yeah.
It's a horrible case.
I know.
Oh, wow.
So I might do a mystery or something this week.
Might ease it up a little
bit. Yeah.
So because Ashley was kind of mean and made us wait a week for the conclusion of her story. No regrets, I can tell.
Hold on, I just realised that we just had a conversation that I've definitely cut out of the episode and then I went, okay, you go.
Yeah.
So apologies for not having a transition there.
Yeah, wait, can I come up with one?
Yeah. Right. What was the last thing that was said before that?
I have no idea.
Exactly.
But
how are you going to transition through that?
I was just going to be like...
There's still glitter all over this table.
Oh, it'll be there for the next 3 months.
Yeah.
Thanks, Victoria.
I still haven't told her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. My go at a transition. Well, that...
Is that... My go at a... I'm cutting it there. My go at a transition. Okay.
Here we go.
Fuck.
That's almost as bad as just being like, this is a transition. Okay.
This is a Sagu.
Okay. Here we go.
This is a transition.
Next story.
What a transition.
All right. So that was a horrible story.
Next.
We're on to something new. I thought that I'd be nice and share a case that is actually largely solved. For once.
I thought you were going to be like, now I'm going to do it to you.
Look, it's... this case is going to be really funny to listen to because not only do I attempt Spanish again.
Oh, great. I love it when you do other languages.
But I also have a lot of medical terminology that I have to try and figure out.
So. I'm usually good with medical terms.
Yeah.
Like, and I can figure out what they mean for the most part.
Yeah.
But I'm usually good at pronouncing them because they're all like... It's all Latin derivatives
put together.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that I have a lot in succession.
Spanish, so. I cannot help you with.
I'm going to do my best, but I just think it'll be funny to listen. And it's also a very, like, information-heavy case. So cool. I do apologize if it gets boring, but I thought it was interesting. So my case for you today is that of the Atacama alien.
Dope.
Yeah.
Don't know a thing about it, but I'm excited because you said alien.
Alien. So, yes, this is the case of the Atacama alien, and when I tell you it's a controversial one, I mean controversial. Like, there's a lot to it. So, the case begins in 2003 when a man named Oscar Munoz, who was an amateur collector, was exploring an abandoned mining town named La Noria. So, he discovered a set of remains in the Atacama Desert, Chile, which is where the name comes from.
Chile?
Well, because it's Chilean, and then I heard all these people saying it as, like, Chile, and I'm just like, is Chilean. It Chile or Chile?
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say Chile.
I've heard a lot of people.
Really?
Say, yeah. Mainly, I don't know. Should I just say Chile?
Just say Chile.
All right.
Most of our listeners are American. They're not going to say Chile.
I try to be accurate where I can, but it's just, I keep going to say Chile and correcting myself, so I'll go with Chile.
Just go with Chile.
So
we apologize if we have any Chilean listeners.
Yes. I just apologize to a lot of people in general. So
it's a blanket apology for whatever the fuck's about to happen.
Yeah. So the remains that were found were truly unique in appearance, and once discovered, after being unwrapped from their casing, so they were found in wrapped in a white cloth, tied with a violet ribbon and placed safely in a leather pouch. So it was clearly like special.
In a pouch? Can't be very big.
It's not.
Okay.
So as soon as it was discovered, the term alien was immediately thrown around. This was because, although the remains resembled a human, so it was vaguely human structure, the remains were only 6 inches in length, which is about the size of a pen. They were extremely narrow.
There's a lot of dudes looking at a pen right now.
Yeah. So the remains were also extremely narrow, and it appeared to be a complete skeleton, although the skeleton only had 10 sets of ribs instead of 12. And that is 10 sets. It's not 10 individual ribs. So, yeah.
10 pairs.
10 pairs, yes.
So 20.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot. How many do we have? 9.
12.
Oh.
Humans usually have 12 sets.
12 sets?
Yeah, because they come right up here. So you've got, like, shoulder blades there, and then your ribs start, like, up here.
I don't have a skeleton in this room, weirdly enough.
We need to I have lots that. Of skull-shaped things.
Yeah.
We should have, like, a fake skeleton just right in that corner.
Hell yeah.
I might do that.
Well, because your collarbone's there, and then your ribs literally start there.
Should we go halves for a Christmas present for ourselves?
Yes.
For the podcast 1 year, we'll Hell get ourselves yeah. a giant skeleton.
We'll do a Halloween present. Give me a Halloween
doing. Well, that's our 1 year anyway, isn't it? Really? Cool.
Sorted.
Anyway, right, okay, yeah, sorry, anatomy aside.
Yes, so the remains had 10 sets of ribs instead of the usual 12 seen in regular humans. The skull was also noticeably elongated, had large deep eye sockets, and the whole skull ended in a point.
I don't like it.
Nope. So Munoz truly believed that he had discovered the remains of an extraterrestrial, and pretty soon the news had spread to local tabloids and then later the world. Adda, which I'm Australian, so I say Adda, but it's Atta, A-T-A. Adda.
Atta boy. Sorry.
Adda, as the remains would be named due to being found in the Atacama Desert, had become the most considerable evidence of alien visitation, and as you can imagine, many were keen to call Adda theirs. While the complete chain of ownership relating to Adda is frustratingly unknown, what we do know is that Munoz first sold Adda to a local businessman for 30,000 Chilean pesos, which was about $54 Australian or $42 US.
Oh shit, that's cheap.
Hell yeah. Way too cheap for supposedly alien remains.
But also, I don't... Like, no hate, but this has always really annoyed me. Why 30,000? Why not just 30?
I don't know.
Do you buy anything for one? I don't think so.
I don't know.
Sorry.
Decisions
Every
were made.
Time I go to Indonesia, I get really pissed off because like a million rupiah is like $100.
Right.
And like 10,000 is a dollar. Just get rid of all the zeros. Yes.
Why does it have to be so inflated?
Like, I don't care if it doesn't match with other, like it's not a one-to-one, that's fine. But you don't need all the extra zeros.
Yeah, anyway. But then after that, somehow Adam ended up in the private collection of Ramon Navia Osorio, who was a wealthy entrepreneur, head of the Spanish Institute for Exobiological Investigation and Study.
Bless you.
Thank you. There's another one coming. But this guy was also a collector of Spanish alien curiosities. So he has like a big collection and he somehow ended up with it. This is also important to remember later in the case, by the way, that Ada ended up in Spain.
Okay.
From there and in the year 2012, An immunologist and head of the National Heart, Lung and Blood Institute's Proteonomic Center for Systems Immunology.
That could be shorter.
At Stanford University.
What's their acronym?
Okay. NHLBIPCSI.
Nihilibipiski.
Probably why they write it
That's
out.
That's the title of the episode.
But yeah, so basically this dude who was an immunologist and headed up some unit at Stanford, he heard about the Atacama alien while discussing UFOs with a friend who had a particular interest in the subject. He learned that a UFO documentary was currently in production called Sirius, as in Sirius Black from Harry Potter.
Cool.
And was going to be featuring the remains as evidence of extraterrestrial life. Nolan then decided to email the producers of the documentary and offer his services to try and identify whether the remains had identifiable DNA and whether he could conclusively conclude whether the remains were human or otherworldly.
Conclusively conclude.
Yeah.
Cool.
There's lots of that. Nolan was granted permission to conduct x-rays and collect bone marrow specimens for analysis by the current owner of the remains. So that was who he got permission for. Like okay. all of this from. In 2013, the documentary was released, and just to give you a bit more information about the documentary itself, and you'll see why I did this, here's a brief synopsis. Sirius is a feature-length documentary that follows Dr. Stephen Greer, an emergency room doctor turned UFO researcher, as he struggles to disclose top secret information about classified energy and propulsion techniques. Along the way, Dr. Greer investigates new technology and sheds light on criminal and murderous suppression. He accumulates over 100 government, military, and intelligence community witnesses who testify on record about the cover-up. Though he feels the pressure of an imminent assassination attempt, he comes up with something amazing. A possible ancient ET skeleton, 6 inches long, is discovered in the Atacama Desert. Dr. Greer, along with his team, have top Stanford University scientists run genetic tests on the skeleton. What they find will completely change the reality of human existence.
That's so convoluted.
Yep.
Okay.
Wait till you watch the trailer.
Does it actually exist?
Yeah. It came out in 2013.
Wow.
Yeah. I watched like a good 15 minutes of it. I watched all of the Dr. Nolan part where he explains everything.
Jesus. Does he look like the guy that goes, aliens?
Oh.
Aliens. And he's just got nuts or hair.
He looks like that, but like with glasses.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a lot. We'll just leave it at that. So in the documentary, Nolan presents his findings and says conclusively that the remains are in fact human due to the significant sample of DNA material they were able to extract from the remains. He was actually surprised at both the quality and quantity of the DNA he was able to analyze, as he first predicted that the remains were thousands of years old and all cell material would have likely disintegrated. But this was not the case, and I'll go into more about this a little bit later. He also states that from analyzing the sequencing from the mitochondrial DNA, which is the powerhouse of the cell.
I knew! You looked at me and I knew!
Well, because I was like, is she going to say it or am I
going to
say it?
Well, I was going to, but yeah. You looked at me and then I knew you were going to.
Winner! So from sequencing the mitochondrial DNA, he could conclude with high confidence that the mother was an indigenous Indian from the Chilean area. That's a quote, by the way.
Right.
He was also able to identify that the remains were of a male due to the presence of a full Y chromosome, and at his best guess, the person probably died within the last century, although this would later be brought down to an estimate of the last 40 years.
Oh.
So saying it was thousands of years old was just very inaccurate.
The sand around it, maybe.
We'll get more to that. However, following consultation with Stanford's resident expert on pediatric bone dysplasia and syndromes, Dr. Ralph S. Lockman, he also noted that there are a number of abnormalities discovered that were not seen in a human specimen before. The first was from examining the x-rays and radiographs taken of the remains. At first, the remains were considered to be those of a stillborn fetus, due to the size of the skeleton being only 6 inches or 13 centimeters. But when looking closely at the growth plates, areas of new bone growth that are used to measure growth in children and identify age, they're found in like the wrist and the knees.
Mm-hmm.
The growth plates indicated that the remains were more consistent with those of a 6 to an 8 year old rather than a fetus. The second point was that while the remains clearly exhibited a noticeably misshapen skull, there were no other symptoms observed that would fit a diagnosis of a known disorder. In a quote from a letter describing his findings, Dr. Lockman explains, "The specimen does not fall under any known, to me, class of disorders or syndromes. In many respects, the proportions of the spine and the extremities are normal. The major abnormalities appear to be 1, the size of the specimen, 2, mid-face hyperplasia and underdevelopment of the jaw, and that the specimen has only 10 ribs. Humans normally have 12, rarely 11. Thirdly, when looking at the full genetic sequencing of the remains, it was also inexplicable how the actual abnormalities were able to be present without the known genetic sequencing showing up. To explain this another way, in known human conditions that may cause bone abnormalities, such as dwarfism and progeria, which is a condition that causes...
That's Benjamin Button.
Yeah. I don't know if they like to be called that, though.
That's the only way I will ever remember that, sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it mainly causes rapid bone deterioration in small stature, but basically, yeah. That's what it is. So when you have these conditions, there are certain gene abnormalities and sequences that are identified that cause the associated symptoms and the whole condition itself. So in the Atacama remains, however, none of the known gene abnormalities were observable to these conditions. And as Nolan summarizes, that leaves open the question, what genetics is causing the abnormalities that we are observing? So basically, they had a whole range of symptoms. They were like, well, this fits this condition, but we can't find evidence of it. So it was like a big jigsaw puzzle that was like half finished.
Right.
But it was pretty cool. I will note that there was other scientific points made and they really went into all the science. You see their lab and everything. But just for time and what's kind of relevant on the podcast, that's the summary of things.
So did they put all that in the documentary or not?
Mm.
Oh, okay.
Like, he explains genetic sequencing and how it works, and he's showing you diagrams, and he talks about all the pairings and specific genes that they couldn't find, but it's just like, it's not going to make sense if I go into it, because it's all codes and stuff. So, but yeah, it's pretty cool to see. But yeah. You also get to see the actual alien, in quote marks. Mm-hmm. they have lots of pictures. You see them performing procedures on it. You see scans of everything. So you see a fair lot. If you want to check it out, it's pretty cool. But yeah, take it with a grain of salt. So, jumping ahead to the year 2018 now, Dr. Nolan and 15 of his colleagues published the findings of their study and analysis of ADDA over the last 5 years to a scientific journal named Genome Research. In the study, Nolan in great detail describes the methodology of his investigation and further details the nature of the genetic abnormalities found during analysis. Here's where you got to stick with me. So, without going into too much detail here, and I read the actual publication, so you can find it online. It was very, very confusing, but I found one section called discussion, which I could mainly understand, but mm-hmm. basically they did further analysis and they looked into the actual individual genes that they found abnormalities in, and then they kind of separated them all out and they were like, here's what we found. So without, like I said, going into too much detail, Nolan identified that there were particular gene mutations found in ADDA that were known to be associated with conditions such as cranioectodermal dysplasia, Greenberg skeletal dysplasia, congenital diaphragmatic hernia, osteochondrodysplasias, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, osteoporosis, type 1A and type 2, I got stuck on this one, achondrogenesis, Kabuki syndrome, Sickle syndrome 1, microcephalic osteodysplastic primordial dwarfism type 2, atelosteogenesis 1, Larson syndrome, spondylocarpotarsal synostosis syndrome,
bless you,
and osteogenesis imperfecta. So if none
that's
of these,
a lot.
Yeah, like they found a lot of stuff there. So if none of those conditions mean anything to you, fair enough. But basically what those conditions all kind of explain is that when you look at all their symptoms, they're all to do with like bone abnormalities and growth conditions and things like that. So a lot of them have kind of similar symptoms, but there's a bit more explanation to go here. So when it came to looking at ADDA's remains, it's important to note that Dr. Nolan was not saying that ADDA had all of these conditions. What he was explaining was that they found certain genes that are associated with some of these conditions, but A, they didn't find all of the genes needed to give a diagnosis, but also they still didn't find why this particular combination happened. So there's just, it's never been seen before. So that whatever happened to ADDA, they just can't explain it because there's a lot of abnormalities and it doesn't make sense.
Hmm.
Which is really interesting. And they're kind of sitting there saying, they're like, one big problem is that if you do, you know, kind of take the theory that ADDA was a stillborn fetus, they're that, like he was making the point that we don't really study stillborn fetuses. They're usually kind of buried and, you know, we don't actually look at what genes they have and what actually went wrong, so that we can't actually identify these conditions very well. And so he's like, we actually need more research to understand how things go wrong and to like understand it more.
Mm.
Which I was like, interesting. So all of this research sounds great, right? It's interesting scientific findings, remains proven not to be alien but still good to know. Well, here's where the controversy comes in. So, following the publication of this research in Genome Research, there was significant uproar from the members of the scientific community for a number of very good reasons relating to the scientific ethics and cultural respect. So, the first issue raised was surrounding the motives of Dr. Nolan in him wanting to study the Atacama remains in the first place. So, instead of presenting his research intention as a formal proposal in a professional manner, he reached out to the producers of a documentary and has been accused of seeking fame and infamy rather than wanting to study these remains for genuine scientific research purposes.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty fair enough. The second glaring issue is that the research conducted on the Chilean remains refers to the likelihood of illegal exportation of a human body and the fact that the chain of ownership of ADDA can't even be properly established. When you think about it, it's pretty horrific that a random man was able to dig up some lovingly preserved remains, likely of a fetus, And remember, they were wrapped in cloth and ribbon and put in a leather pouch. He was then able to just sell them to some dude, and somehow they've ended up in Spain. There was absolutely no records kept of any sales that were made, and there was definitely no government authorities that said, yes, you can take this specimen from our cultural heritage to another country.
Mm.
So I learned a cool new word.
Cool.
Yep. Which I'll get to in a second. But basically so the Chilean authorities actually launched an investigation into this because they were really not happy about it. And they believe that Chile's laws of see, Chile sounds weird because I just keep thinking of chili peppers.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Chile's laws of and regulations regarding international looting and biological patrimony laws were all breached. So there's a lot of creepy stuff going on here. What's more is that it was pretty early on discovered that Ada had indigenous heritage, which means that there's a whole other level of disrespect to it in that the Chilean communities have specific laws surrounding protecting their artifacts and respect to the cultures and things like that.
Yeah.
None of them were adhered to. So the big problem when it comes to this research conducted by Nolan and his team is that, okay, so at first they didn't even know if the remains were human, which you can kind of, it's still pretty shitty, but you can kind of be like, okay, well, they were investigating an alien at first. But the problem was that they pretty early on discovered that it was a human and that it had indigenous heritage, and they didn't stop any of their research.
Yeah.
They didn't make any efforts to find living family members, and particularly since it's like 40 years old.
When, what year was it that Ada was disinterred?
What's disinterred?
Like dug up.
2003.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it was the 80s and people were just shittier back then.
Yeah. I mean, it was an abandoned mining town, but like 2003, people usually know better.
Yeah.
And then,
You'd hope they would.
Well, because the other thing is, I mean, in 2012, the documentary was being made and they knew about it. I don't know how they found out about it, but then Dr. Nolan found out about the documentary. And then, you know, like, this is the big problem. There's just no documents to prove how anything happened.
Yeah.
So it's all pretty shady. But the really big problem is that when they actually published their article, one of the co-authors, and I don't know how to say his last name because it's B-U-T-T-E, and I keep wanting to say booty, but I'm worried that's
B-U-T-T-E.
Wrong. Yeah.
But.
Okay.
Please just call him butt.
All right. So So when the paper was actually published, a quote from one of the co-authors, Atul But he stated that we had no involvement or knowledge of how the skeleton was originally obtained or how it was sold or exported to Spain, which the scientific community pointed out is pretty horrendous because not only is it unethical, but it also shows a lack of respect and due diligence on their part.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just go around studying shit and being like, oh, well, I don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, it was basically just a shit show. People were really unhappy.
Fair enough.
To put a final spanner in the works of this paper, it was later revealed that all the way back in 2007, so remember, Ada was discovered in 2003. This happens in 2007, and Nolan does his studies in 2012, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
In 2007, Ada's remains were examined by a medical doctor and professor of legal and forensic medicine at the University of Basque Country, which is in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Francisco Etxebarria?
Nice.
Etxebarri.
Sure.
A.
Is there a question mark on the A?
No, just my brain is not functioning. But yeah, so this guy, he examined the remains and he had already concluded that they were human. He said that this was really obvious due to the fact that the mummified fetus had the presence of an umbilical cord on it.
I did look at the photos and it does look glaringly human.
Yeah. It looks very human. It has some deformed features, but it's fundamentally human. But yeah, so this guy had actually examined it in 2007. He said it was really obvious that it was human, that it had remnants of an umbilical cord in the mummification. The doctor also stated that there were no bone abnormalities observed in terms of increased aging. He said that this was really common due to the fact that the body was in the Atacama Desert, which was extremely hot. And he also said that the 10 ribs was not unusual at that stage of development. It's not uncommon for fetuses to only have 10 ribs at that time. So he said that was explained away. Then he also suggested that the researchers who conducted the analysis of Ada years later exhibited professional negligence.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, if somebody's already examined it as well and gone, this is obviously a human.
Yeah.
And then they've just ignored it. And 5 years later, they're like, it's an alien. It's like, yeah, you're all a bit stupid.
It's like, did you not look into this? Like, surely they had a report.
Or if they did, then they're just digging for fame and it's a cash grab.
Yeah. Which is why it's really shady.
Yeah.
So there you have it. There's the extremely controversial and largely kind of solved case of the Atacama, end quote, alien. I know I did go a fair bit into scientific explanations and going into the ethics of everything, but I think particularly when it comes to paranormal side of things and we're examining remains and calling them Bigfoot or calling them aliens,
yeah,
we need to remember that there's potentially a human being there.
I actually really like this because we usually don't have answers and I'm frustrated, but I'm less frustrated and just kind of intrigued by this now, which is cool.
That's what I was thinking. Thank you. I'll do a nice solved one so we can all wrap it up nicely.
Yeah.
I think we needed it after your case, but... yeah.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how badly my brain was melted after this case.
Yeah, I can't imagine reading all of that.
Yeah, it is. It was really interesting. But yeah, I basically feel like a scientist and a lawyer at this point. So
that's how I feel after reading court documents. But also, like, my respect for lawyers goes through the roof. And then just my desire to be a lawyer plummets.
Oh, absolutely.
I would never be able to do that in a freaking way.
God, no. Particularly, like, criminal lawyers. Like, you have to know everything, and then you have to pick the pieces that are actually relevant to the case.
And, like, the people that... what are they? The documents? Like, the court documented people?
Oh.
People that take all the notes of what the fuck's happening? Like, yeah. Holy shit. Your shit doesn't make any sense, but it does at the same time.
Have you ever seen how they actually type them?
Yeah, it's all shorthand.
Yeah, it's like nuts. These codes and
stenographer.
Shit. Yes, that's the word.
Got it.
I was not going to come up with that.
I deserve a cookie.
I don't have a cookie.
I do.
Have a piece of gum.
No, I'm good.
Okay. But yeah, so that was my case for today.
That was actually really good. Thank you. I enjoyed that. And that's something I'd never actually heard of before.
Yeah, I found, because I came across an article and it was just talking about this alien and I was like, oh my God, like, have they looked into this? Started researching. Yeah. Yeah, they have.
Couple like a times.
And it's very actually, like, a lot of that controversy wasn't listed in a lot of the articles I read. Like, everything was like, oh, look at this brilliant research, and like, oh my God. And then I found this one big article that tore them to shreds, and it went
just
on
like how, like, they fucked up.
Yeah, they were like, people are not talking about this, and I was like, oh my God. And like, a lot of people are really upset about it, and a lot of communities, like in Chile, they're having major problems. Oh, I didn't even say my new word.
What was your new word?
Biopiracy.
That's fucking rad.
It's a cool word, right? So basically, these communities are having a big problem.
You know how my brain does that neurodivergent thing where you say a word and I instantly see an image?
Yep.
So biopirate, and it's, I don't know why, but it's a pig. And he's standing up and he's dressed like a pirate, but he's got like those hazmat helmet on.
I love it.
And then he's like kind of green and dripping a little bit. Biopirate, somebody draw it. Victoria, help me.
Yeah. I liked it up to the dripping part. But yeah.
I'm thinking biohazard pirate.
Right, yep.
Biopirate.
It's a little different. So basically, communities like in Chile, they're having this big problem where overseas countries, particularly the US and the EU, they basically fly in, they find something cool they want to study, and then they fly it out of the country and they just take it.
Right.
Like, no respect to the country. They don't get the proper authorities to do it. They don't file the paperwork or anything. They just fly in, fly out. And then they're like, no, we have the right to study what we want. Because the US in particular doesn't really have a lot of policy on this kind of stuff. So they're like, oh, well, just we can take what we want. But yeah, a lot of countries are having a big problem with this.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I think we have that because we've got a lot of rare animals here.
Yeah, we do.
That's probably a different word.
Well, it's all the same because it's like all of our like Aboriginal artifacts and
yeah,
things like that. Like, we don't want them just flying out everywhere because we have, you know, respect to pay to our Indigenous communities and, you know, they have particular meaning to them. So they're like, we don't want our treasures to be just flown anywhere for any reason.
Yeah.
So
anyway, do you have anything for your, you're still watching Prison Break?
Yeah, my recommendation is still Prison Break. Like, I'm on episode...
It's only been 2 days. We haven't finished either of the things we were watching. I'm almost at the end of Shadowhunters.
Well, I'm on episode 10 of season 4 of Prison Break. So I've made progress.
Well done.
Something really sad just happened. I can't talk about it because it's a spoiler, but...
I know what it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I just I wasn't ready.
Yeah, I guess we don't have anything for our recommendation station yet.
Oh, I have a book.
Do you have a book?
Yeah, I've been reading it for a long time, but I got back into it.
Okay.
It's Cell by Stephen King.
Nice.
Really good.
Do I have that one? Probably. I have a lot of them.
It's so good.
Well, we're on the subject of books. Something that, like, I read a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched a TV show when I was a kid.
Okay.
I have a tattoo from it.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the movie. It is my favorite standalone movie, which is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I remember you telling me this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That book, I forgot how amazing it is. And, like, I read it ages ago. I bought it when we went to Thailand last year.
Mm-hmm.
Read it all. Had it in a bag and then just forgot about it. And I found it again. Like, I'd finished it, but I found it again. And I was like, oh, my God. And yeah. It's like, it's a trilogy in five parts.
Yeah.
Is how it's, like, described. And it's great. So if you like a large, nonsensical, just fabulous read, read that.
Okay. Yeah, I think The Cell, if you're into zombie books, but in a different kind of way.
Yeah. I'm currently working through Skeleton Crew by Stephen King, which is like the collection of all of his short stories and stuff. That
Some of his short stories are really good.
The first one was fabulous. Some of the others, I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, I find they're a little bit hit and miss. Like, yeah. Every now and then you'll read one.
That's why he made a little book with them all.
Yeah. Well, every now and then you'll read one and you'll be like, But then most of them you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It was one of his new collections. I cannot remember what the book was called, but that was really good as well.
Stephen King's pretty good.
Oh, so good. His books get weirdly sexual, and I don't know why, but it happens a lot.
There was one. Fuck. I'm never going to remember it.
Mm-hmm.
It was one that, like, I stole from a library when I was, like, 13 and should not have been reading, but I was way above my reading level at that point, so, like,
mm-hmm.
I wanted better books to read. I didn't want to read, like, shitty things.
Yep.
And I was like, I read a certain part of it, and I was like, I shouldn't be reading this, but I'm going to keep going.
This is not age appropriate.
Yeah, it's like a guy stands in a kitchen wearing his wife's underwear, and he sticks his hand in a garbage disposal and gets off on it.
Yeah, I don't think I've read that one. I think
it's like Firestarter or something, but it's not Firestarter. That's just what I keep thinking of.
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff in there.
Yeah. Anyway,
still read Stephen King. Like his books are like unlike anything you'll ever read, but it's just they get a bit weird sometimes, and you just got to go with it. Funny.
It is Firestarter.
Okay.
I typed in Firestarter garbage disposal, and it comes up. The guy commits. Where is it? Yeah, the guy commits suicide by shoving his hand into a garbage disposal wearing wife's underwear with the vulva-like opening of the new garbage disposal. Sorry. Anyway.
I don't really know what to say to that.
You're welcome. I've been Ash.
I've been Laura.
Enjoy that, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Go follow us on Instagram and do the Facebook group and send us a Gmail to... Where is it? What's the Gmail address?
Isn't it just Dead Obsessed Podcast?
deadobsessedpod@gmail.com.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't know why you're pointing at me. I don't even have access to it.
I couldn't remember.
Right. No, everything is mostly, like, all the socials.
Everything's Dead Obsessed Pod or Podcast.
Yeah.
I think only the Gmail is Pod.
Yeah.
So, anyway, do that. Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Is Dead Obsessed. Hold on, you said it was solved.
Yeah.
It means it's not an alien.
It's not an alien.
Fuck.
I'm sorry. You find that out really early.
Ruined anyway. My day.
Actually cut that out because there's a little bit to get through and it was supposed to be a mystery. But anyway. So
should I just put it at the end?
Yeah. You're not supposed to know that yet.